Now we will take up the second part of our evening study. And we have been talking about a subject, the ambassador, or an ambassador, and his message. We're getting a great deal of that, of course, from Ephesians, and that is where we get the term ambassador. This is the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Paul calls himself that, an ambassador in chains. And also we find the things that are in his message as an ambassador, or particularly in Ephesians and Colossians. Now, I did read just a few days ago something written by an eminent writer and along dispensational lines, and he said that we do not find our hope in Philippians. Now, folks, that's off our course here a little bit now, but I believe that should take a second look and think on it and read Philippians and see what you think about it. Maybe that wasn't just exactly right. It may not be brought out of the same terms and plainly as it is in Ephesians and Colossians, but nevertheless, there are some things in Philippians that make you stop and think. It's a very deep book, and one that's well to read and study. Now, last week we were talking about 3:1, Ephesians 3:1. And it starts out, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now, this is a little different language than you find in the 28th chapter of Acts, where he told those Jewish elders that met with him in Rome that for the hope of Israel, he was in that chain. He's not saying anything about being in chains for the hope of Israel here, and yet, it's no doubt the same chain. Written not very long after the events of Acts. 6 months, 9 months, I don't know. Maybe sooner. We don't know just exactly when Ephesians was written. And when Paul wrote to them, they'd already heard his message from messengers that coming about and so on, who heard him in Rome in his hired house when he talked to all who had come to him and expound to them these things concerning the mystery. Now notice, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And you take the next verse, and you see he's starting a parenthesis. "If ye have heard," and so on, he starts off on something else. And look at verse 14. He's taking up where he left off at verse 1. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and so on. All in between verse 1 and verse 14 is a parenthesis. And so when you get to verse 14 and start on there as if you were still going on with chapter 2. That's just a little hint in your study so as to get these things connected. Sometimes a parenthesis like that will get us lost and we lose our way and can't make the connections. I know there's a very similar thing in a sort of a parenthesis in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that he speaks about a dead Christ, if the dead are not raised and so on, and gets down to about verse 19, and you're going over several verses of reference to resurrection and so on, and then he says, "Why are they baptized for the dead?" Well, that connects it back there with that verse 19, "for a dead Christ." Why should people be baptized for a dead Christ? Well, if Christ would be dead, why any baptism? Of course, now in that time, water baptism was the rule. That wasn't in our dispensation of the mystery. And I'm just giving you an idea of how we can get lost sometimes in when there's a little parenthetical expression. And that has happened sometimes even in studies in the Old Testament. And commentators and so on have got lost and don't make the connections, as I was showing you a while ago in the connection between the first part of chapter 3 and the last part and over into chapter 4. A theme there that is between two sayings. Now, in chapter 3, he goes on to say here then, if ye have heard, the dispensation of the grace of God was given to me to you word. Well, we will take up some of those things as we come to them. Now, a note, we might as well write on here in Ephesians verse 2 and 3, because there's a little something here to note. I read the verse 2 there, but I want you to notice this. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me, not to you, it's given to me, for your benefit, to you word. Doesn't say the dispensation of grace was given to them. I was only given to Paul. By the grace of God, he was given the position of an ambassador to give a message to these people. So, he becomes an ambassador because of a dispensation of the grace of God to him only. Now, a lot of people think that this dispensation, the mystery, this time in which we are, and they use a time element quite often, is a dispensation of the grace of God. Not so. And a lot of people talk about the fact that there's a gospel of the grace of God being preached today, but not so. The gospel of the grace of God was preached to Gentiles during the book of Acts, that they, by grace, could partake of Israel's blessings and hope and so on without any keeping of any of the law, circumcision and the like. That was the gospel of the grace of God. Now, if we keep these things straight, save a lot of trouble, but some people will lump them all together, and what do they come up with? I don't know if I ever told you or not, but one time when I was teaching school, we had a teacher and his wife left to go visiting for a week or two and left him at home alone. And he had to do his washing. Way back in those days, way back in the mid-20s, early 20s, why it was a common way of washing was to take the white clothes especially and put them in a boiler and boil them. But he didn't know that, so he threw all of his dirty clothes, his socks and shirts and everything, all in the boiler and boiled the whole thing all together. And they all came out about the same color. As you can well imagine. Well, that's about the way some people treat the Bible. They just toss everything all in, boil it up together, and then dish it out. As far as they're concerned, it all looks alike. And we see a lot of that on every hand. Well, a person who does a good job in the laundry and so on, certainly no handkerchiefs and socks and shirts and the like, no one from the other, and what's colored and what's white. Now, I'm not an expert on this. Don't take my word for too much of it. I can do a washing, but I don't like to do it. Now, this is a dispensation of God which is given me to you word. And he's an ambassador to them. And he says, how? That by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And here you hit a parenthesis. But this is his subject. As an apostle of the Gentiles, he has a message. Now, why does he say Gentiles here when he is speaking about the bonds of Israel and so on in Acts 28? Well, Israel's gone off of the scene. How often you have them mentioned in Paul's prison epistles anyhow? Israel. Only as a contrast. And usually spoken of as a circumcision, some word like that, rather than Israel. Paul makes two or three mentions, but They are rather unimportant in where they occur. Now, he has something that's given to him as to into their direction for to give to them as an ambassador. And he says it's a mystery. Well, this is our word, isn't it? A key word. And we've been working up to it. Well, that's one of these things we should note. Now, we do have a little parenthesis in here inside of this parenthesis, and I just had you notice here in verse 3. Now, let's take this parenthesis in here. So, says I wrote a 4 in a few words. Now, whether he wrote to them in another letter, or whether it's what he's writing about in the first and second chapters here in a few words, I would rather think that he's referring back to the chapters before. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Period. There's the end of your parenthesis. Now you'll find it mismarked in your companion Bible. You have it ending way up there at the end of verse 4. By the Spirit goes on after the parenthesis. Well, and that talks about prophets. Well, I just got a paper a couple of days ago in which a fellow misses this, and he thinks it's the prophets of the Old Testament. But he says now is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, not the prophets of the Old Testament. Well, where do we get the prophets now? I turn over to chapter 4:11. Just a page over. This is the ascended Christ. Went into the heavens, far above all heavens. And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The ascended Christ did that for the church, which is the body of Christ. And it isn't revealed till you come here. So these are not of the Old Testament. They're not even of the New Testament up till A.D. 64. And we can see that from verse 12. It tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints. Getting people oriented for the new message he has of the dispensation of the mystery. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that could not have been said during Acts because there wasn't an edifying of the body of Christ at that time. There was a body of Christ, a group of believers who belonged to him, but they were not a body of which he was a head. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, getting back to my subject here again, this gets so involved, and we have to stop and go back and forth a little bit. I notice in verse 2, if ye have heard, if the news is coming to you, if the gossip has reached you of what has happened down here in Rome, that is, God down there in Rome has given to Paul a special dispensation of grace, and it's for their benefit, to youward, for their benefit. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Now let's leave the princesses out and go down and see what this is. Now I'll repeat here again, and you watch for that last part of verse 5. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, that by the Spirit, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now this special dispensation given to him of grace is also spoken of as there as the gift of the grace of God. Same thing. So here it appears that he has not yet written to them concerning the mystery. For he says, if ye have heard. Nothing has been written yet concerning the mystery. But the message had gone forth from the ambassador in his chains. Or his chain. There's a sudden change of dispensations here. Even if they have the same chain. And we note here, and as well as in Colossians 1, 25 and 6, that Paul was the exclusive witness of this secret. Look at Colossians 1, 25 and 6 just for a moment. He speaks here in verse 24 of the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God. There it is, the dispensation of the grace of God. He's called the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to you word, as it says in Ephesians, to fulfill. Oh, here's something. To complete the word of God. And what is it that completes the word of God? Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So this mystery had been hid from ages and generations until it was made known to Paul and by Paul. Well, kind of helps us to see a little bit through this, maybe. Something has happened pretty suddenly here, at least, the way Paul is writing. Well, we have two mysteries here, and that's going to be a mystery to us, maybe two. Have to watch a little bit. Two mysteries. Now, the mystery, which had been hid from ages and generations, is one. The mystery of Christ is the other. And yet, as you look at them, you see that they're both one. The mystery of Christ had been made known to Israel up to the end of Acts, as far as it was necessary for them to know. The dispensation, the mystery, had nothing to do with their hope, their calling, and so on, so that wasn't a part of the mystery that was revealed to them, the mystery of Christ. But now, a new dispensation is set in, and we have a dispensation of the mystery given as an addition to the mystery of Christ. In other words, then today, the mystery of Christ would not be complete without the dispensation of the mystery. But up at the end of Acts, it was complete without the mystery. For they had, for their calling, all of the revelation of Christ that they needed. But for a calling into the heavenly places, we need the revelation of the mystery, which had been hid from all these ages and generations, to complete our knowledge of Christ. Which means that we go back and find out what relationship he had to Israel, principalities, powers, and so forth. That is all for our learning and for our good. John wrote his gospel on this side of Acts 28, and he writes it to convince people that this Jesus was the Son of God. Not the King of Israel, but the Son of God. And with the power that such a one would have. And that power to us for today. So I was just trying to sum up the secrets or mysteries. And so in summing it up, then, the mystery of Christ was made known in other ages so far. It was ever unfolding until you get to the end of Acts, Acts 28:28. There's always a little something added until then. And there it stopped as an exclusive revelation to Israel. And the mystery, as I said, completes the mystery of Christ. And so we have today the once far-off Gentiles now have blessings. Verse 6, blessed with all spiritual blessings, the heavenly places in Christ. Or, that's in chapter 1, I should say verse 6 here, that the Gentiles will be fellow heirs in the same body, or joint members of the same body, and joint partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's what I was really referring to. So, the blessings of the church, which is a body of Christ, are not like the blessings of Israel. At one time, during Acts, when Gentiles were being grafted in, they partook of the blessings of Israel and Israel's hope. And by grace. Well, now, let's back up just a little bit. Who are these Gentiles? In verse 6. Oh, it's the same Gentiles we have in verse 1. And we didn't connect there, did we? Now, when we had studied in chapter 2, we found that for he is our peace, in verse 14, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his place the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, one new man up there above there, and it's make, there is create. And he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which are far off, and them are nigh. And we find here that this new man, including these Gentiles, are no more strangers than foreigners, or fellow citizens with the saints, or in the Holy of Holies, the household of God, and so on. Well, since there's no more Jew, in 3:1 he calls them all Gentiles. The Jew has no priority anymore at all. And so this church, which is created, which at one time, before Acts 28:28, had been Jew and Gentile and gathered together in one synagogue, but they really weren't one. Now they have been made into one new man and are called Gentiles. No Jew really today in God's economy, and you'll find that as you read through these epistles of Paul after Acts 28:28. This chapter here doesn't really speak about the Jew. He says the twain, and so on, a middle wall of partition, we're to understand that the Jew was meant, but he doesn't even mention him. There's a reason. And we find that Paul was the exclusive minister, apostle, however you want to call him, of this dispensation of the mystery. When the Lord left the earth, he left his ministry of the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, in the hands of 12 apostles. And that ran through the Acts period, to the end of Acts. And Israel would have none of the kingdom or the king. And so there was where the change came. And now, we have an entirely new group of people and a new message. The old one is set aside for the time being. It's been 1,917 years since Israel divorced and no longer a people. It's a long time getting down near to the end of a 2,000-year period or 2 days Now, we've been talking about dispensation. We have to sometimes define our words so people know what we're talking about. It can really mean a period of time, but that isn't its prime meaning. It has to do with a stewardship. It has to do with a household. It has to do with the household and its treasures. As we mentioned in our fore part of the meeting here, Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, and he was a steward. And it was his responsibility to look after all of the storehouse and so on, all of the things of the house, pay the bills, make the orders necessary, and so on. And so there was need in a household at that time for a steward, one who could take on responsibility for the buying and the selling and so forth. Now, I think you'll find in Romans 16:23 something about a steward. Just take a look at that. Romans 16:23. Now, we'll read that verse, see if you find the word steward. Yes, mine host, now the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. Quartus, the steward. Chamberlain. He was a city treasurer. Okay. That's one usage, and I'll give you some idea of it. Look at Galatians 4:2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And the word tutor is steward. And also the word governor is sometimes used, steward. That is really the word we're looking for. It's because it's the word oikonomos. But here you have two words that really are used as stewards. Well, now let's look at another one here. 1 Corinthians 4:1. You may find something here, give us an idea. Let a man so account of us, as are the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. The word mystery is plural here, the same as you find in Matthew 13, the mysteries of the kingdom. And at this time, that was exactly what Paul was. He was one of the stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom, all during his Acts ministry up to Acts 28:28. One more reference here, 1 Peter 4:10. First Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same man, same one, to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Well, there are some of them. We have here in Ephesians 3:2, something of a stewardship given to Paul. It was given to him, to us who believe. Now, there's just one other one we have here. What are the credentials, what are the requirements for a steward? Find it in 1 Corinthians 4:2. I think that'll be my last reference on those. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Was Paul faithful as a steward of the mystery? I don't think anybody would dare to contradict that, say he wasn't. I wonder, since these things are passed on down to us, if we are valuing our stewardship in this matter. You see, Paul was bound as a steward to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery. And since Paul was conscious of the fact that he was a steward, and a steward had a responsibility, he writes to Timothy about this thing. And so we have in 2 Timothy 1:12 something about it. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, he talks to Timothy about this another place, about as a good deposit. Paul was a steward of the mystery. As the 12 were stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom. These help us a little bit, maybe, to understand. And so this secret that's given to Paul, this mystery, is a new dispensation. A new household. And a new steward. There are new terms to describe all of it. There's new teaching. There's a new hope. And there's a new doctrine, as well as a new walk to follow. Now again, a new dispensation, a new household. A household which has to do with heavenly places. There's a new steward, and that is Paul. Actually, these stewards were the 12 apostles during Acts. Paul was brought in as the next one to preach to the dispersed of Israel, which he did during Acts, and also tried to provoke them to jealousy by preaching to Gentiles. When you get into Ephesians, Colossians, and others about this new dispensation, we have new terms. For instance, in Ephesians only, is this expression in heavenly places. It occurs 5 times and doesn't occur in any other part of the Bible except in Ephesians. New terms. Talks about a prize of the high calling. And so on. Now, there have been rewards in other dispensation, but not a prize of a high calling, because they didn't have a high calling. New teaching. And you notice when you get into the dispensation of the mystery that Israel's law is not there. Moses' law is not there. That was particularly for a chosen people, Israel. The hope of Israel was the coming of the Lord, the parousia, and the rapture, and so on. But they have a new hope here in Colossians 3:1-4, to be manifested with him in glory. And because of that, there's new doctrine. You have to read the first three chapters of Ephesians to get the doctrine, the teaching concerning this. The new things. And we have used such things for subject, like what's new. And there's a new walk. Israel to walk in as if they were in view of the kingdom here on the earth. But in the mystery, men are to walk. Worthy of their calling, worthy of Christ, and especially to walk as citizens of heavenly places. Philippians 3:20. So there it is. Now the question is, this was given to Paul, given immediately after Acts 28:28. I don't know whether the Lord waited more than one night to reveal this to Paul or not. I wonder if Paul thought right then, when that is revealed to him, and wondered how it would be received. He'd had enough trouble getting people to receive his doctrine, his gospel of the grace of God. How would they receive this? Well, we know if we have read our Bibles. Well, is that going to make any difference? Does the fact that the end of Acts ends up with only a remnant, a small number of Israel, being believers and being partakers of the kingdom of heaven, does that nullify the message of the kingdom of heaven? Does it nullify the hope? Does it nullify the promise made to Abraham? Well, not by any means. Be fulfilled yet. And so the dispensation of the mystery coming in here as a parenthesis for 2,000 years, almost. I said, 1,917 years to be exact. Does not nullify the promise made to Abraham. Someday Israel will be ready for their Messiah. They will go through their tribulation, great numbers of them believing in the teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses, 144,000. And when all seems black and looks as if they were have to give up, the trumpet sounds, the Lord appears, the tribulation is over, and their enemies will soon be gone. Now those promises are given, and God does not renege on his promises. However, many of them seem, from the human standpoint, to have been put off, and maybe even at times practically destroyed. But God knows what he's doing. Well, how would it be received? Well, what's the record? Well, now just turn over here to 2 Timothy 1:15. We were just right at that about. I have my Bible still open here. 2 Timothy 1:15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia are to be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Philogenes, and so on. His last epistle, time for him to depart, or his analysis, that is to die. And it doesn't sound as if he had had much of a hearing. Wouldn't that be awfully disappointing? Why, the average preacher would give up if people didn't listen to his message. But not Paul. Not Paul, because he was a steward. He had a responsibility. He had the responsibility of preaching this. to all creatures, that is, all the new creation, which he did. He and those working with him, as their responsibility. But the harvest was in the hands of the Lord. Paul was not responsible for those who would believe and who would not believe. That wasn't it. He was responsible for giving the message. We must remember that same thing yet today. We're not responsible for any harvest that comes, and we need not boast if we do have a harvest, because that's all in the Lord's hands. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. Just turn over a few pages. Or a page. Just a few pages. 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Now these last two we do not need to put in there, but especially if Demas had forsaken him. We'll not take up the question of Demas now. That's an interesting subject. And, I have another reference here. Oh, the next verse, 11. Only Luke is with me. And that says, lots. Verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. That's when he came to trial before Caesar. But all men forsook me. I pray God that may not be laid to their charge. Well, that's just a few of them, to give us some idea of how the man and his message were received. Now, Paul was a man. And when you see what he suffered and his steadfastness and so on, we can say he was a real man. On the other hand, we could say this, that he was the man of the hour, the ambassador. Have to get back to our word, don't we? The man of the hour, the one man upon whom God depended to have this message of the dispensation of the mystery given out. Now, it was no mystery, it was no secret that Gentiles were to be blessed sometime, that is, nations. No secret. This prophesied over and over. But there's a hitch to it. There was a condition to it when it was given. The promise was made to Abraham. And that blessing was to be through him and his seed. And now, today, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, not in Abraham. Abraham has nothing in what is going on today. And so when Abraham had all of this message and his promise given to him time after time, he never knew, nor did anybody know up till Acts 28:28, that people would be blessed in Christ, and in heavenly places at that. For prophecies of Israel had to do with land, a people in the land. And we're not looking around today for fulfillment of prophecy, because prophecy has nothing to do with what's going on today. This period of time is a secret. That is what was to go on in that time. Now, the length of time is not a secret. Spoken of as 2 days in Hosea 6:2. Hosea 3 tells you something of the character of it as far as Israel is concerned, but doesn't give us a hint, not a breath, of what God's program would be during this parenthetical period in which we are. And so it was not known until Israel was set aside and divorced in Acts 28:28. Nothing was known whatever of what God had been doing in these days in which we now live. And I'll have to leave off here. Our time is up. Let's have our prayer. Dear Father, we do thank Thee for Thy great Apostle Paul, his faithfulness, the good deposit was given to him, handed on to Timothy and on down to us today. Thankful for this message we have for the world, that whosoever believeth may have life